Welcome, everyone, to Voice of the Valley here in the Horn Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studios. I'm your host, Dave Bell. 428-9494 is the phone number. I'm sounding like a DJ. 928-428-9494. Our grandson spent the night last night, so he was up with me eating breakfast. And after, well, he got up after I finished watching the news. And so I'm like, he wants to watch his music, and we're like, no, because then he doesn't eat and he doesn't.
He loses focus.
He loses all his focus, and getting him dressed and stuff for school and just does not work. And so I did throw on music, though, and I threw on some music from 1973. And I'm trying to tell him this is good music, and he didn't care.
He doesn't know.
But the host was Wolfman Jack, and now I'm suddenly talking like a DJ. Children are impressionable. No, so are old men. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. Yesterday was a good day at my household because my wife's business won a Best of Safford Award yesterday.
I saw that. Well deserved.
Yeah. She won customer service. Jenny Howard over at the Genevieve's Main Street Bean won her eighth. I have no idea how many times Casa Manana has won, because they won. They've got that banner out front that shows all the Best of Safford
awards.
So I'm going to guess they're somewhere around 15 or 16, maybe more.
Wow.
They have a loyal fan base. There are people that's where Trisha Garrett over at Copper and Cotton tells the story that I think it was her dad, as he was going through end of life. And I want to say he was struggling with dementia. It got to the point, Casa was his favorite. And she could just call and say, I'm bringing my dad. And that's all she had to say. And the table would be ready. They knew what he would order, what he would drink, how he liked his table set up. And they would have it ready for him when he walked in, so he was comfortable. I said, that's
what matters.
That's customer service at its highest peak.
And that's the good thing about a small town. Because in cities, you might not get that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. unless you go like every day.
Exactly.
And they recognize you. But here, so Casa, well-deserved. I'm trying to think who else. It's on Gila Valley Central right now, so you can go look it up. It's Ace Hardware Builder Supply. One for excellence in retail. Boulevard Glass, one for excellence in service. Casa, one for dining experience. Royce Cycled, one for customer service. Genevieve's for the remodel, how they restructured the dining area. It's beautiful.
It is.
I'm trying to think. Oh, a newcomer was the Salty Heifer.
Oh.
Behind Sarah's Bullpen.
I've never tried it, but I've heard it's good.
I did. It's very good. Yeah, it's very good. And I cannot pronounce food truck.
I think it's
Antojitos?
Antojitos El Cholo.
There you go. All right.
They're good.
I've not had them.
Yep, they're really good.
I mistook them for a different food truck, and they had to explain to me, no, that's not us. We're different. They're out of Wilcox, but they like to come up here and serve whenever they can.
Yep.
So, it was a good group. And it was a great lunch. Jenny Howard catered lunch, so it was really delicious.
Yep.
It was a good day. It was. And like I say, good day for the Hunt Bell household.
That's right. And I would say, I'll speak on it, she goes above and beyond.
I appreciate that.
I always say that to her.
That voice you hear, Stephanie Nabor, she is the executive director for CECAS. Full disclosure, I now sit on the CECAS board.
That's correct.
So I'm coming at this from a position of passion. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. We're really here to talk about the tax credit because we have time, a little bit of time, to take money off of your state taxes or get money back.
That's correct.
If you make a donation. But before we do that, I want to talk about something that came up and I was a little surprised by, but I'm intrigued by. So Safford's newest city council member, Dusty Brantner, was on the show on Tuesday, And I asked her what would she would like to do. And she's like, I'm still learning. My big issue is the budget. She has a financial background. That makes perfect sense.
Yep.
And she wants to make sure money's spent properly, effectively, conscientiously, because it is taxpayer money. She did mention that in the strategic plan for the city, there is a community center. Now, it's just a wish list right now. It's not a thing that's being funded or actively acted upon. But she said, if we do something like that, can we make it a multi-use facility? Yes, we want activity for our children. But could we make it into a senior center as well? Like a joint use facility. And I said, well, there's a senior center right now. It's mm-hmm. it's Graham County provides it. And she goes, I understand that, but there's a space limitation there, which is true.
It is true.
And maybe having a multi-use facility where seniors can be served and youth members and adult members of the community can be served might be better for everybody, especially when you get seniors and youth interacting. Something I've seen the senior center do many, many times.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we used to have, and we're trying to get back to that. Prior to COVID, we'd have the Boys and Girls Club members come over and intermingle with the seniors, which they truly, truly enjoyed and look forward to. And every so often, we'll have a young one there, and they just brighten up the day of the seniors. And I do agree on the space. You know, we're limited, and we are trying to make changes to accommodate the growth of the senior center because any given day you go, it is a full house. And so I think that's a good idea that she mentioned, and it is a nice wish list to have, because I'm sure at some point we're going to get pushed to have to find more space because there is a capacity limit and our services are growing. I mean, every activity we have there is a full house. And, you know, I don't know if people follow our page on Facebook, but they can see, I mean, bingo, full. There is no seating available, and it's a needed service. And so, yeah, I do see growth in the future.
I was surprised. It wasn't a take I've ever had. I'm a big advocate for, I'd like to see a convention center mm-hmm. here. Obviously, I put on an event, so I would like a convention center. But realistically, I look at Prescott Valley and what it was like before the Toyota Center came in. Mm-hmm. I think it's called the Toyota Center again, Tim's Toyota Center. Before it was there, there was a golf course. There were a few houses. That was about it. Royce went to school at Yavapai College for mm-hmm. a couple of years before she went to U of A, and my wife. And she said, yeah, it was a place where our coaches made us run. Because it was, you know, wild and wilderness, and that's what you did. And now you look at it, and it's because of the convention center.
That's right.
And it's completely built up. Now, I'm not suggesting we want to be a big city, but we'd like more amenities here.
I agree.
And then you add in EA offering four-year degrees. Hopefully they offer more in the future. I understand there's things they have to do to be able to do that. Heck, I'd like them to be Eastern Arizona University.
That'd be nice.
They really would. we're going to see development, and a convention center builds that. But when Dusty Brantner suggested that, I thought, that's actually not a bad idea. You get something similar to what Morenci has mm-hmm. with their community center, and you've got all these breakout rooms so you can accommodate seniors and youth and meetings and whatever you need to. Yeah, there's possibility there.
I think it's a great idea, and it's interesting. It's a wish list of, I know, the residents of Duncan, the same thing. So it's kind of interesting to see the same items on people's wish list is what I would say. But yeah, I mean, we always want to have room for growth. To have opportunities for growth. And I do see in our future that we are going to have to to look into that a little more.
Well, you're not alone. Boys and Girls Club face the exact same issue. They've got limited space.
Mm-hmm.
that building had, by fire code,
yep,
you can only have X number of people.
That's correct.
And I know Boys and Girls Club could serve so many more. Mick Ruiz, before he left to be the events coordinator for the city, mm-hmm. He was actively seeking new space because he's like, we're maxed out. What do we do?
Yeah, and you never want to churn someone away because of the lack of space.
Right.
You want to be able to provide the service and what they're looking for.
Right. So I found it interesting. I thought I would throw it at you. Because I said, I'm going to see Stephanie this week.
It's kind of interesting because, I mean, there's been several conversations and it's come to my desk a few times about space.
Yeah.
So I'm sure in our near future, it's something we're going to have to look at.
Speaking of space, CECAS operates 3 senior centers.
We do.
Everybody in the KATO listening audience knows about the one here in Graham County mm-hmm. in Safford. But you've got one in Clifton and now one in Duncan.
We do. And Duncan is, it's growing. What we find there is, of course, if we provide activities or education opportunities, we get a bigger crowd. So we're working on that, but it's up and going. Our Clifton Senior Center, the same thing. It's nice to see the seniors coming out, but I think it also shows the need in the times that we're in. Because where can you go? So in Greenlee County, where can you go and get a nutritious lunch for $2, a $2 donation? Of course, we don't turn people away, but it is $2 donation. But where can you get that? You get all your nutritional staples that's ready for you, and you also get the socialization. And so they're growing, and we're there, moving in the right direction.
Duncan is one of those communities that they're close-knit. The mm-hmm. residents, they all know each other. They all tolerate each other. Not everybody likes everybody. It's the
That's
nature of things.
That's very true.
But they don't have a lot of places to go. They've got the fairgrounds.
That's about it.
And that's about it. Mm-hmm. So the senior center provides a second location and maybe one for some who struggle with movement.
That's correct. You know, we see some that their families will bring them because they don't drive, but they are mobile enough to be at the center. It's handicap accessible, but it allows even the ones that have very little movement to participate in exercise because there's exercise class there. And we are working on a couple of other programs that are going to be focused around movement, exercise, just all around mobility, because that's an important piece. Seniors forget, if you don't use it, you lose it. And so we always encourage movement of some kind. Even if it's in a chair, you can still do movement.
Fairgrounds are wonderful, and they serve so much of a population. Mm-hmm. But people forget, fairgrounds in themselves aren't always the most accessible. They tend not to be paved.
That's very true.
And try pushing a wheelchair along even if it's graded, a rock-strewn patch of dirt. It's not easy.
No.
For the caregiver.
That's correct.
Forget about the person in the chair. The caregiver at some point just can't do it.
That's very true. And so we try to make it as easy as possible. It may even, you know, because sometimes we have a senior that comes and the caregiver is afraid or kind of nervous to leave them because they do require a little bit more hands-on. As long as it's within our capabilities, we're more than happy to keep an extra eye on them so they can partake in what's going on at the centers.
And should be noted, many caregivers, you correct me if I'm wrong, most caregivers are peers.
That's correct.
It's usually a spouse.
It is. And if it's not a spouse, it's going to be a child. And so we always keep the caregiver in mind because if they don't have their care person, I mean, who else is going to provide it? We've run into that issue several times where their caregiver has fallen ill. And they're left to figure out, what am I supposed to do now?
If I required care right now, I would feel confident because our sons are mm-hmm. in their 30s. We have one in his 20s, but all the rest of them are in their 30s. Well, they could manhandle dad easy.
Yeah.
But if I were 80,
that's correct.
Maybe they're a little older and maybe they're not as strong as they used to be. And it's challenging. And to ask my wife to try and move me around. No, I'm that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And you know, that's where we come in. I mean, even if it's just education, because caregivers do not see themselves as caregivers. And so it's educating and letting them know you are a caregiver and there are services out there for you. Whether it just be having a conversation, whether it be us coming in the home to relieve you of your duties, whatever it may be, we're going to do the best we can to assist them.
The one thing that I know most, because you're right, they think, well, it's my dad. I'm not a caregiver. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do for my dad,
yep.
For my mom, or for my spouse. But the reality is you are serving a professional function as a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that the average person doesn't realize is the need for respite.
Oh, yes.
And I know CECAS provides respite services.
We do provide respite services. And, you know, that is an important piece for the caregivers. It allows them to be able to leave the home and know their loved one is safe, to go to their medical appointments, to take a breather, to take a nap, so they can come back refreshed and reset and ready to provide those caregiving services. Because if caregivers don't have a break, at some point they're going to break. And then who's going to be there? So that is a important piece of the services we provide. It's not only for the care recipient, so the client, but it's also for the caregiver. And like I said, respite is one of those services that I wouldn't say takes a lot of convincing, but it takes a lot of education so that they're open to receiving the service that they do need.
I talk with Jennifer Labrum, who's a mental health coordinator for the health department, very often have her on the show, and we talk a lot about that and about these types of things. And what I've seen, because I saw my mother go through it when she was caring for her mother, you develop a resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you develop guilt because, oh my God, how can I be so angry at her? Now, mind you, her mother going through dementia was accusing my mother of stealing everything. Everything was stolen by you, Joanne. And my mother's going, it's right on your nightstand. It's not stolen. But you build that resentment and then it's guilt because how can I be angry at my mom? It's not her fault.
Exactly.
Which is true. But if you don't get that break, you can't process that logically. You're just inundated with it and logic kind of goes out the window.
That's very true. And that's the point. That's the part with the caregivers is educating them because it's easy to take it personal. And you're also going through grief, even though the person is living, because you're slowly losing your mother or your father. And so it's education is important, as well as the respite, because that gives them a chance to breathe and know, okay, this is not how they normally are. I don't need to be upset or have guilt. You're doing the best you can in the situation. It's a lot of people. Well, I don't know why she's saying she doesn't know me. I'm her daughter. Because they're not fully understanding the processes or have the time to sit down and get that education. So there's a lot of virtual support groups that we give information for families so they can partake in. There's one-on-one family counseling so that they know that that's not how their loved one would be if they didn't have this diagnosis.
Right. And unfortunately, almost no insurance covers in-home health care.
No.
24/7.
Nope.
So it is on family members to be generally that caregiver.
It is.
And that's where CECAS comes in.
That's correct. You know, our goal is not only to support the clients, but to support the families. If that means us coming in twice a week to provide bathing assistance so that they don't have to worry about the fight that may come with it, then that's what we're here to do. If it means us providing home-delivered meals so that that working family member doesn't have to use their lunch to come and prepare a meal. You know, our services are not just for the clients. It's for the caregiving working families. We'll just put it that way, because a lot of the families nowadays, they have to work to provide for their families. So we want to be able to provide support to the whole family, so that the families can be successful in whatever it is that they're doing and know that the client and their loved one is being taken care of.
That's a really good point. A lot of seniors who have to move in with a child, mm-hmm. is moving into a child's home who's raising children.
That's correct.
So, yeah, and that doesn't relieve the family of the needs of that senior.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are different needs that adult child has to address. And boy, that's, talk about stress.
Yeah, and it adds a lot to their plate. And so that may, if we're not there to support them or offer them that relief, it may mean that person has to go to a facility or an assisted living because their plate is overflowing. So if we can offer that support and keep that loved one in the home, that we've met our goal.
And I think the average person needs to realize you do serve working families.
We do.
It's not just the senior who's home alone and their family is out of state.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be a daughter that's caring for their mother and she has a full-time job and maybe she needs a shower chair or a grab bar so she can meet her daily needs. Whatever it may be, we are there. A conversation, information. You know, it's not just for... Our focus is homebound seniors, but that homebound senior has a family that's providing their care when we're not there. So it's the whole picture.
428-9494. That's the phone number. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Stephanie Nabor from CECAS right after this. Welcome back to Voice of the Valley in the Horn Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studios. I'm Dave Bell. Stephanie Nabor is here. She's the executive director of CECAS, and we have 4 days. Today's Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
yep,
Sunday. Four days.
4 days.
Before you have to file your taxes or do as the Hunt Bell household does, file for an extension.
Yeah. I've had to do that a time or two.
Yeah, we are. But... Even though you're filing for 2023, you can make a donation in 2024 right now, and it helps your taxes, correct?
That's correct. It goes towards your tax liability.
So what is that people can do right now?
So you can, up until April 15th, you can donate to any qualified charitable organization, CECAS being one of those. If you're a married couple, you can donate up to $841. Single is half of that. And this does not count against your tax credit donation to the school. These are two separate. So you can give to a nonprofit and the school. And
so if you've got a daughter who's on the Safford soccer team,
mm-hmm.
for example.
Yep.
Kendra's on.
Yep, she is. You can give to them, and you can also give to a nonprofit. And like I say, the CECAS being one of those. And, you know, donations are very important for nonprofits because you're only given a certain amount of funding through your contracts or if people charge memberships, whatever it may be. But donations allow us to do so much more, and it's not as restricted. We can choose to do...
Well, you talked about a number of things. Mm-hmm. Donations help by installing grab bars.
Yeah, grab bars. It could mean maybe there's someone that doesn't quite meet the contract criteria, but we know they truly need those meals. We can do that with these unrestricted funds. So it allows
put in a
us,
ramp.
It can put a ramp. It could mean supplies, craft supplies. It could mean... new chairs for the senior center. It's wherever the need is for the nonprofit, it allows us to use those funds to meet those needs. that maybe under our contracts we would not be able to do. So donations for any nonprofit are truly, truly important for the agencies to be able to do what they're doing.
What I like about it, and obviously CECAS gets part of our donation mm-hmm. money. We typically in our household split it, CECAS and GCRC. Mm-hmm. Although now I sit on both boards, so.
No.
Yeah. No. we do that. And the big advantage is it reduces our whatever we owe to the state.
Yeah. And that's what people don't realize is everybody has a tax liability. Just because you're not going to owe the state does not mean you do not have a tax liability.
If you get a paycheck and you see that deduction for state tax, mm-hmm. you're paying state tax.
That's correct.
So this reduces the amount of state tax that my income level says I owe.
That's correct.
And it just reduces it by that amount. Now, if I was getting money back from the state, it could increase that.
That's correct.
Or if I owe money, which is what I do every year, I've never not owed the state of Arizona, it reduces what I owe or could make it zero depending on how much we donate.
That's very correct. And, you know, you can decide where your tax dollars go. You know, you can keep it here local in Graham County, or it can go to the state of Arizona and they can choose to do whatever they choose to do with it. So it may not go to your community, where by donating to a qualified charitable organization, you choose what your money is going to be used for. You know, if your mission or what you like to support is hunger, I mean, it could be CECAS, it could be Our Neighbor's Farm and Pantry. You know, there's choices. You just ask, and I'm sure somebody will give you the answer of where your mission is and your true heart is, and you can keep it here local.
You do have to either talk to, if you have somebody prepare your taxes, mm-hmm. they can tell you.
Yep.
But if you're doing your own taxes, you do have to do a little bit of research. Not every nonprofit is a qualified nonprofit.
That's correct. Not everybody is a qualified charitable organization. And if there's one that's true to your heart, you can ask your tax preparer, your CPA. You can look it up on the Arizona Revenue.
It's a little harder.
It is
there.
Harder. But I would just probably just do some research, because you just want to make sure you're doing it correctly.
Yeah. And that's the big thing. Search and Rescue were on uh-huh. recently. They're not.
No.
They're not a qualified charitable. And it used to be, what was it called? It was the low income?
Working
poor. Tax credit. Mm-hmm. And now it's just a qualified charitable organization mm-hmm. tax credit. So it's, you have to serve a certain population income level.
That's correct. And that title, basically that title would need to be given to you from the
State Department of mm-hmm. Revenue. So Tooth Buds qualifies, Our Neighbor's Farm and Pantry. I think Safe House qualifies. Mm-hmm. CECAS does. GCRC does.
The Samaritan
home. just got qualified. Mm-hmm. That's right. But not every other one does.
No.
So you could still donate, but just be aware.
Yep, that's right. And it's on your state income tax.
Right. Yeah, because if you donate to Search and Rescue, you could take a federal tax yes. deduction, but it won't qualify you for the state.
Yeah, you won't get like the dollar for dollar.
Right.
So just be mindful, do your research, but support your local qualified nonprofits because it does enable us to do the things that we do. And we truly appreciate everybody in the community, whether it be a monetary donation, an item donation, time, anything of that nature helps the local nonprofits out.
I was going to say something and it flew right out of my head. The donations play a big role because every nonprofit needs additional funding sources. If you rely on just one, you talked about contracts. If you rely on those contracts, well, those contracts can dry up.
That's
especially
correct.
If they're federal, depending on, you know, hey, if there's a government shutdown, you don't get money.
Nope.
And there's a threat every 6 months of a government shutdown. So you need additional revenue sources. And these donations, It could be a donation of, say, a chair. What do you call it when you leave it in your will? A legacy.
A legacy gift.
A legacy gift that sets up a foundation or a fund. Endowment. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That could be the additional revenue source.
That's correct. You know, with endowments, it's money that'll come to fruition every single year for that agency. So yes, donors are very important to nonprofits. They allow us and assist us in all the good things that we do. And some contracts require you to meet certain criterias and funding to continue with those contracts.
Stephanie DeBoer with CECAS. Anybody interested? How do they contact CECAS?
They can call us at 928-428-3229 or visit us at 1124 West Thatcher Boulevard, Suite 102. Our website is www.cecas.org.
Thank you so much. And thank you all for listening as well. I'm out of here for now, but I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.